in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 4. As we continue, just verse by verse, just seeing what we can get out of this wonderful book. James chapter 4. You guys can't see this online, but the middle row is just Pastor Corinne and Kaylee. So it's just the whole row, the whole column is dedicated for you guys. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4. I preached last week, obviously, and I preached up until verse 10. And the thought pretty much continues up until verse 12. Really, I should have continued it, but for the sake of time, we stopped at verse 10. So I asked to preach again this week just to finish off this thought that James gives us. And then because the thought completely changes in verse 13 for the rest of the chapter. So it'll be a quick one. There's only a couple of verses to get through. Who are you to judge? Nice title, eh? Who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Who? Love you, honey. You can judge. All right. Who are you to judge? The title is in our text, all right? Calm down. All right, we're going to read it in a minute. But last week we looked at being a receiver of God's grace and the type of person that is open and willing to receive God's grace when he or she are going through some things and are going through times of trouble. God gives a greater grace to in time of your need. But then he also, as we looked at last week, he resists the proud. He opposes the proud person who, like we discussed, isn't going to think that they need this grace that God provides. But James here, he goes back to the issue of the tongue. We see James talking a lot about the tongue in James chapter 3. A good half of the chapter is about the tongue. In James 1:26, the Bible says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." So he talks about it a little bit in chapter 1 and then a lot in chapter 3. But he talks about this issue of the tongue, and it's something that us as Christians, we need to guard. So we need to guard how we're talking about people, how we talk to people, how we treat them. So James really touches on this. And then again, he goes back to it in our text for this morning. But James chapter 4, just by way of context, let's read from verse 1. The Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith, in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." And then last week we spoke about the conditions that need to be met in order to get this type of grace. And the Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God," verse 8, "and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." So that's where we finished last week. And then now James goes into how that might look when it comes to other people. So no humility, if you and I don't have any humility in us, if we're not drawing nigh to God, if you and I aren't sensitive to sin, it's going to show itself in externally how we treat other people, how we talk about other people specifically, and talking about them to other people. Being right with God means that we will be right with people, especially our brethren. If we're right with God this afternoon, that means we're going to be right with people. You might say you're religious, James 1:26 again, but if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. You can say that you're religious all you want. You and I can say that we're close to God. You and I can say, yes, we come to church and we go through the motions and we do all that. But if we don't bridle our tongue, if we're not right with people, if we're treating people in a certain way, then there's something wrong there with our faith. There's something wrong with our religion, as the book says. So in the spirit of verse 6 to 10, how we had a look at the conditions that need to be met for God's grace, now James is telling people, because of that, let's treat people the right way. Let's talk about people in the right way. So then our passage says in verse 11, the Bible says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." And then in verse 12, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy," and where we get our title from this afternoon, "Who art thou that judgest another?" So who are you to judge? Who art thou that judgest another? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this short time that we have now just to open your word and just go through these wonderful verses once again. Lord, I pray that you just be with me as I just desire and I endeavor just to preach them as accurately as I can. Lord, would you help me and guide me? And Lord, be with us as we just learn from your word. I pray that you be with your people. Lord, remove all distractions from our hearts and our minds. And Lord, may we just see what you'd have for us this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's get into it. Verse 11. The Bible says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." To speak not evil is to speak against, to criminate, to slander is the main definition. You're pretty much making a statement that damages someone's reputation, that damages someone's testimony, if we want to use Christian jargon. Speaking in 2026 is a lot more than talking. Back then, it would have just been verbal, maybe a letter here and there. But in 2026, it's a lot more than that. You know, we have technology, we have social media. You know, you see it all the time, people slandering others on social media, Christians. You see pastors all the time attacking other pastors. How often do you see people attacking the character and the testimony of another person, of another Christian? You see it all the time. But then, so James tells us, he says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren." Slandering others. Pretty much he's talking about the sin of gossip. So in their quest for it all, in their desires to have everything, their worldliness, their selfish pursuits, the readers here were bringing others down with them. They were bringing others down as well. They were using their words as weapons, as the saying goes. It's the opposite of a humble spirit. They were exalting themselves pretty much as judge, jury, and executioner of their brothers and sisters in Christ. They were speaking evil. They were slandering each other. And what they were doing is they were, as we just read in verse 10, they were forgetting their place before Almighty God. And verse 10 tells us to submit yourselves in the sight of the Lord. They weren't doing that. Several reasons why we tend to judge and criticize. Number one is that criticism boosts our own self-image. Pointing out someone else's failure and tearing him or her down makes us seem a little better. at least in our own eyes. It adds to our own pride. It adds to our own ego. It adds to our own self-image. Number two, criticism is simply enjoyed. There's a tendency when it comes to human nature to enjoy putting other people down. You take pleasure in hearing and sharing bad news and shortcomings about others. Number three, criticism makes us feel that our own lives, our own morality and our own behavior are better than the person who's failing. Criticism makes us feel better about that. Criticism, number four, criticism helps us justify the decisions that we've made and the things that we have done throughout our lives. We tend to rationalize our decisions and acts by pointing out the failures of others. Number five, criticism points out to our friends how strong we are. Criticism gives good feelings because our rigid beliefs and strong lives are proven again. How are they proven? By our brother's failure. And then number six, criticism is an outlet for hurt and revenge. Hurt people hurt people. We feel that that person deserves it. It might be subconsciously. He hurt me so much that he deserves to get hurt. So we tend to, and we like to criticize the person that failed. It's human nature. And then so James exhorts them. He tells them it's pretty much like a command. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Don't go out of your way to ruin someone else's testimony and to ruin someone else's character. And then the verse goes on. He that speaketh evil of his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We see in James 2:8, we see the royal law. Turn over one page, or two pages, depending how big your text is. Mine was on the same page. James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So James is now exposing the seriousness of a judgmental spirit and then what the result of that is. When a person puts themselves in a position of judgment against his or her brother or his or her sister, he is doing more than just violating God's law. He's doing more than that. He's placing himself above it. Instead of submitting to God and submitting to his word, which we are called to do, being a doer of the word, which we learnt in James as well, he gives himself the role of one who evaluates. He gives the role of one who critiques and then even overrules God's law. He puts himself in that position where he's able to judge another brother and judge what they're doing. He discerns himself whether certain aspects of God's law are being met. That's what this person exalts himself to. So his measure of patience, his measure of grace, his measure of mercy and long-suffering is the norm, not God's. It stops becoming about God, but it becomes about the person that is doing the judging, that is doing the slandering. This person acts as though he has authority to decide when God's law applies. Deciding when to love one's neighbor, how much to do it, and all that sort of thing. You know, we judge other people's marriages. We judge other people's relationships and their work ethic and things like that. We tend to have it in our human nature where we want to talk to other people about it because it makes us feel better. And like those six reasons, it makes us feel better about our decisions. We tend to, or the readers especially, had this judgmental spirit about their brothers and sisters. And then rather than obeying God's law, like I said, this person has now elevated himself to the position of referee when it comes to God's law. That's what he's talking about. Just like a court judge knows the law, a court judge can discern the situation and assess how to correctly judge the accused. When we slander another brother, we are in essence judging them. When we're talking bad about other people, and their decisions that they've made or whatever the case is, where we are judging them. We have decided that they've done wrong, and that's what these guys were doing. They were deciding that they were going to that other people, their brothers and sisters, were doing wrong. And guys, that goes against the Bible. That goes against the book that we're studying. James says to be a doer of the word, not hearers only. We are to be doing the law, to try and keep God's commandments, not putting ourselves in judgmental positions where we critique other people. So why is this the wrong attitude? Let's keep going. This is a problem because verse 12, there is one lawgiver. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So James now, he reaches the peak of his argument. Like I said, after this verse, the thought changes into something completely different. So he's at the peak of it now. The reason believers have no right to sit in judgment over one another is that there is only one that has the right to do that, and that's God. God is the only one in a position to be able to judge someone else. And let me clarify, and I think I'm going to get to it later in the application. We're not talking about discernment. We're not talking about looking out for one another. We're talking about judgmental condemnation of a brother or sister that you think or that you've decided isn't doing what you think they should be doing. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about someone that might have an issue in their life, someone that might be falling into something and you want to talk to them about it and try and rectify. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you and I going out of our way to talk to other people about this person. Slandering. That's what James is getting at. There is one lawgiver, the Bible says, who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? So God alone possesses the authority to establish the standard by which all people are measured by, and when and how harsh judgment should be. God is the only one in a position to do that. God's judgments are perfect because he is both lawgiver and judge. So God knows what he's doing. By being critical and judgmental of another brother is putting ourselves in the position that God alone has. And now we don't see it that way. We just see it as, oh, you know, we're trying to help them, or, you know, they might deserve it, or like I said, like we read earlier, it makes us feel better. But in essence, what we're doing is we're putting ourselves in the position of God by judging other people and then talking about it to other people about them, talking about other people. And James is saying, cut it out. Having a critical and judgmental spirit is sinful. Because you know what? We'd make pretty bad judges. I don't know about you, but I'd make a pretty bad judge. I don't have the patience that God has. I don't have the mercy. I don't have the grace. You know, as Pastor mentions a few times, as soon as someone cuts you off in traffic, you just want to destroy them. Who cares who they are? I don't have any grace when it comes to... Like, we're not really fit to judge other people. But God is. So God knows when to invoke his law. God knows when to, how harsh to punish someone, how much he should chastise them. You know, how long-suffering he needs to be with certain people that are going through certain things. God knows all that. God knows the ins and outs. We don't. So like I said, I was saying it in jest at the beginning, but in all seriousness, who are you to judge me? Who am I to judge you? We are in no position to judge each other. And like I said, this, we're not talking about discernment. We're not talking about helping each other out. This is talking about condemning others because you think what they're doing is wrong by the Bible and not coming to them in love. That's what James is getting at. And then even worse, going around and talking to other people about it. Have you and I arrived as Christians? Have you and I, have we gotten to the point where, you know, when the Bible says in Matthew, you know, behold, like take out the mote, do we think that we've taken the mote and now we can see the beam? Oh, no. We've taken out our beam and we can see the mote? We haven't gotten there yet. Once we think that we've gotten into that position, hey, there might be some pride there. And there's pride that was being dealt with in the earlier verses. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. God's mercy is perfect. God's patience is perfect. God's grace is perfect. His long suffering is perfect. Romans chapter 2, and I'm just using this as just a support verse. It's not the same context. Romans 2 is part of the Apostle Paul's argument in the opening chapters of Romans 1, where he explains that all people, both Jew and Gentiles, are guilty of sin and need God's salvation through Jesus Christ. But the principle's there. And this is all it is. It's just a principle. It's just application. Romans 2, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Why? For thou that judgest doest the same things. Hey, we're all hypocrites. What you're judging me over, you're probably doing the same thing. What I'm judging you over, I'm probably guilty of something similar. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to what? It's according to truth. Against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? The principle's there. We need to be careful how we're judging each other, because like I said, like the passage says, is that we're probably doing the same thing. And instead of judging one another, and instead of slandering one another, we should be praying for God's mercy on one another. How we pray, how we want God's mercy to be put on us when we're doing the wrong thing, we should be praying that for other people instead of going out and trying to ruin someone's character, trying to ruin someone's reputation. Someone said this, one of the easiest ways to hide our sins is to expose the sins of others. Isn't that true? So let's apply it. Are we unnecessarily critical this afternoon? Look, I don't think us as a church has a problem with this. I know Pastor is very big on unity and very big on us trying to get along. And we are unified as a church. We do all love each other. And from what I've seen, I don't see any slandering going on. But what about our thought life? How's our thought life when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Yes, it might not come out, but what are we thinking about people? Are we unnecessarily critical in our heads? You know, do we have a gossipy tongue? Is that something that we struggle with that we're just not talking about with people here? Do we struggle with that? Do we have a judgmental spirit and a failure of looking at ourselves? And it's discernment versus condemnation. We can discern. The Bible calls us to watch for people, to watch out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. But how is the spirit in how we deal with people who are in error? How's the spirit? Are we in love trying to seek restoration? It always goes back to the heart. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then Matthew 7, the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And then the passage we all know, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. So number one, is, as far as application goes, guys, we need to cut out any talk that has the opportunity or the... the opportunity to ruin our brothers and sisters in Christ's testimony and reputation. We just need to cut it out. If something, if our words are going to ruin someone's character, if our words are going to ruin someone's testimony, then guys, we just don't go there. There is never a good place for us to bring someone else down behind their back, even if the information is true. especially our brethren. Even if the information is true, you don't go and talk to other people about it. You don't go and slander someone, because while it might be true, it's still going to ruin their testimony. It's still going to ruin their reputation. And like I said, it's thought life as well as talking out loud. So what should we do? We should pray for them. If you think that someone is in error, and they probably are in error, but you don't go and talk to other people about them. You pray for them. And you only seek to edify and lift your brothers and sisters in Christ up. So number one, we just plainly just cut it out. Number two, you go to them personally if you have an issue. If you have an issue with what someone is doing, what someone is saying, if it's contradicting scripture and it's something that you have concerns over, yes, it needs to be spoken about. But it needs to be biblical and it needs to be done with them personally. And then number three, you go to them in love, in the hope of restoration, in the hope of forgiveness, in the hope of repentance and fellowship. Not to you, but to God. The goal is to get close to God. We're nothing. The goal is to be reconciled with God again. And number four, we need to realize that we are not any better than the next person. We might not be doing the exact same thing, the same thing that we have an issue with someone else with, but I'm sure, if we were able to have a little peek in our private life, we would all see something that we all need to deal with. That's every single one of us. We would see issues that we all need help with. So we need to realize that we all have to stand before the one true judge one day, and we need to pray for mercy for one another. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 quickly. Verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So my friends, all of us are going to stand before Christ one day to give an account for our life. And then Romans 14:10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." I was thinking about this over lunch, just trying to apply it to what we heard in the morning. If you're a spouse, please don't slander your spouse in front of other people. Don't go around talking about your husband. Don't go around talking about your wife to other people. Okay? And even if it's a joke, jokes, you know, I'm Mr. Joker, and okay, I'm the one that jokes a lot. Jokes tend to become serious over time if you repeat them long enough. So don't, as far as this morning's application, don't slander your spouse. If you want to be a good husband, if you want to be a good wife, we need to cherish our spouses. And like at the end of Ephesians, when it says to reverence, the wife needs to reverence her husband. Well, the husband needs to respect his wife as well. And you don't do that by talking about them, by slandering them. So just four questions just to reflect on. Number one, do I have this attitude of wanting to bring others down with my words? Is this an attitude that I'm struggling with? Just things to reflect on this week. And then what about our thought life? Number two, am I judging someone's motives instead of addressing observable actions? Am I judging someone's motives? Number three, do my words build people up or do they tear them down? Because they're doing one or the other. And then number four, how can I demonstrate God's mercy on me and pay that mercy forward to others? Guys, God is good to us. God is so merciful. God is so gracious when we mess up. Let's just give that to other people just a little bit. Give them a little bit of that mercy, a little bit of that grace. Amen. "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, Thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you just for this short thought, just from your word. Lord, would you help us just to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ? Lord, would you help us just to not have this judgmental and critical spirit that this passage talks about? Lord, when it comes to other people, Lord, help us just to pray for them and just to help us just to have mercy on them. Lord, if we struggle with this, Lord, if we have an issue of talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ to other people, Lord, especially unsaved people, Lord, would you rebuke us of that? Lord, help us to just cut that completely out. And Lord, help us just to edify one another. And Lord, help us to love one another as well. But Lord, we just thank you and we need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.